Welcome to Golf Origin Stories. My name's Chris McEwen. That, of course, is Elvis Costello and the Attractions with the song What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. Just a wonderful poppy rock song from 1979. Fun fact about What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. That song was originally recorded and released in 1974 by a band by the name of Brinsley Schwartz. That's right. That song is a cover. Elvis Costello's version is a cover of the Brinsley Schwartz version. Nick Lowe was the actual writer of that song. He was in Brinsley Schwartz. And he also would go on to become Elvis Costello and the Attractions' record producer. And it was actually Elvis Costello's idea to record that song, to cover that song. He was a fan of Nick's work before Brinsley Schwartz, but he did love that song. And so they covered it, and it essentially just became an Elvis Costello and the Attractions song. I mean, I think if you asked anyone, you know, whose song that is, they would tell you it's Elvis Costello and the Attractions. And I love that song. It's the beauty, again, is there's a couple things that are going on with that song. So one, there are five chords throughout the whole thing. Most of it is A and D throughout, but it's a very simple melody for the most part. But the fun, if you go and listen to it, of course, after you listen to this podcast, is what the drummer is doing. And I know I give drummers a hard time. My brother was a drummer, and we used to make fun of them all the time, but they are important, okay? I'll say it. Fine. But throughout this song, it sounds like it's a bit out of control. If you listen to the drums, if you listen to the downbeats of things and the way it's structured, it sounds like at any moment this song is going to fall apart because the drums are just kind of a bit chaotic throughout it. But it's actually completely under control. He's got the whole, you know, the whole drum sound and beat is locked in. And he's doing a lot there without it sounding like he's doing a lot there. And so it's just really fun to listen to that aspect of the song. And it's just, you know, it's a great song, you know, high energy, super poppy, super upbeat. And it's got that signature Elvis Costello voice that we all recognize. But anyways, hope everyone's doing okay. Welcome to the show. Today's guest is a good one. PJ Koenig joins me. And if you are listening to this podcast, you've probably listened to PJ on other podcasts as well. Maybe you listened to his own when he had one. But he's got a lot going on these days. And he's got a new gig with About Golf, the simulator company. We talk about some photography and drone photography and video, beginnings and when he decided to go all in on that kind of job or that career. And obviously when he fell in love with golf and things like that. But we also talk about some very personal things, around PJ's life. He just hit a very, very impressive and significant milestone. And that is he has been 15 years sober. And so we talk about that. And to PJ's credit, he's very open and honest and forthcoming about everything around being sober and staying sober, and how it's affected his life since that last drink 15 years ago. So it's a really fun conversation. So, you know, it's a great conversation, to be honest. So hopefully you'll like that. I do want to point out before we move into the interview, I've had a lot going on lately. So I was actually on another podcast as a guest. It's called Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch Lawrence, who's been on this show, and Darren Bunch, who has also been on this show. I am the new producer of that podcast. So to kind of kick things off, they had me on the show. And we talk about a whole range of things from music to my own golf origin story to my favorite golf courses and resorts and all those sorts of things. It's a really fun conversation. So I will put that link in the show notes if you want to listen to that. for some reason you want to listen to my voice even more, God bless you. But it is a fun conversation. And, you know, as the producer now moving forward, I hope that maybe you guys go over there and listen to that one too, because they have some tremendous guests on that show. I'm not going to give away some of the future guests, but I think you'll find them interesting, much more interesting than my ramblings on their podcast. But go listen to that if you want to. It's fun. Anyways, okay. One last reminder to subscribe to the podcast and leave it a review and leave it a rating. As always, that stuff really helps this show grow. And thank you for those that have already done it. Thank you to those that have been listening. I really, really, really appreciate it. I think by now you know that because I say it so often, but I really do appreciate it. It's awesome, man. Thank you. Okay. I've been talking for far too long. You're not here for me. You're here to listen to me ask questions of my guest, which today is the wonderful PJ Koenig. Let's go talk to PJ.
PJ, I feel like, welcome to the show, first of all. Thank you for doing this. I feel we'd be remiss if we didn't jump off and talk about your annual New Year's resolution that you've had going on now for 15 years, because it's a thing, man. It's quite the accomplishment. You've been, so 15 years ago, you had a resolution that said you're not going to have a drop of alcohol.
Yeah.
And that's the same resolution you've made every year now for 15 years.
For 15 years.
You've held true to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, it's getting up into, I don't know what the world record is, but that's a lot. Yeah. It was, June 20th, 2005 was the last time that alcohol entered my body. And I believe it was vodka. It was blurry to say the least. And then that following, after I made it 6 months, which anybody that's done it can tell you, that's the hard part. The first year is pretty tough. But so I made that resolution in 2005, and I did it. And I was like, well, I'm going to do it again. And so then I'm just kept going and going. And it's gotten easier. It's not as exciting as those first couple, but it's just as important. You know, staying sober every day has allowed me to do a lot of cool things in life. And I owe everything to it. Like most recovering alcoholics will tell you that it's changed the lives of myself and everybody that I touch. It's a cool thing.
Boy, it's more than cool, man. That's amazing. That's super, just so impressive. And, it's so great. I'm going through, every year I do the 31 day, I do the January dry January thing. And you're right though. I mean, so there was, it's nothing near, like I wasn't suffering from alcoholism, but there's a moment, you know, mid month or so where I'm in a rut and right. I don't like anything and I'm very unhappy about stuff. So I can only imagine, the sort of ups and downs that you experienced.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's different. I can't speak as a normal drinker what that's like. I imagine just by observing it, that it's much different, for us, it's alcohol consumed every moment, everything was designed around it, whether you admit it or not. Mm-hmm. It truly was. It owns your life. And then when you stop drinking, then there's like this massive void. So maybe that's like a tiny little bit of what you felt. But I started, there's some weird things that at the beginning that you really, that's what makes it challenging. Cause you're like, how does my life work now? So you've got to figure out how do you fit in social settings? How do you develop these skills sober? And like, who's your friends? Like, what do you do for fun? All those sort of things you got to learn how to do. And slowly but surely you get another tool in your bag and you get another day under your belt and you're able to go along. And so it's cool. I mean, in golf, in just in life, I would have never thought that this many people would support me. And I feel like I'm a cooler person because I'm sober. Because there's just so many people that are proud of you for it and that support you for it. And I think it's kind of it's great because it allows me to show a little bit of vulnerability mm-hmm. and like a little bit of what I thought was just a tremendous weakness and shameful thing when I first, you know, stopped drinking. And I can share that with people and like be honest, be like, this is me, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And it, you open up to a little bit of people. And what that does is like it allows them to open up to you.
Yeah.
And so I've built some great friendships and just had some, you know, meaningful conversations with people, whereas maybe otherwise we would have talked about the weather. And fortunately, I've been able to help other people, inspire them to stop drinking. You know, I mean, they were like, man, your story was great. And I love hearing about that. I've been thinking about doing it as well. And I was like, do it, man, do it. Like, you know, come on. Like, you know, what's yeah. so good about drinking? Like nothing is good about it.
Yeah.
If you're an alcoholic, it's awful. And it's so much better on the other side. If anybody just drinks a little bit less or actually stops drinking and changes their life because of like something I said, or I can affect or just be a part of that decision. Like that's a really cool thing to be able to give somebody else. And I would, you know, you can't do that if you're just a normal drinker, or if you're drinking at all. So, it's kind of a cool position. I really look at it as a kind of badge of honor and unique position that, my life has given me a cool opportunity to be sober. So,
yeah, for as long as I've kind of observed you from a distance via social media and things like that, the thing I appreciate about you most, I mean, you're incredibly talented photographer and your drone photography is great and you're wildly entertaining on just the surface, but you're also a genuine human being. Like you're not you're not a manufactured personality per se. Like you're PJ. That's who you are.
Yeah. I'm just, I appreciate you saying that because those are the sort of things I love to hear. And it's cool that like resonates with people. Cause a lot of times you put your stuff out there and you put yourself out on Instagram. It's just your phone. You're just putting stuff on your phone. You don't realize that people receive it on the other end, how they do. And it's great to like, when you actually get to meet some of those people that have seen your social media or have conversations with them. And they say that about you. Cause like, I mean, I'm just a dude that loves golf and loves having fun out there. And loves photography, and showing off golf courses. I mean, that's such a cool thing that I get to do that on a almost daily basis.
Yeah. When did the golf come first or did the photography video obsession come first or how did that sort of come to be?
Golf comes first. I think golf's got to come first. And for me, it does. And I was a little dude. I was a little dude and I was probably like 8 or 9 years old running around. Was it in third grade? Yeah. Running around Arlington Park Golf Course, which is a 9-hole, no golf hole longer than 300 yards out there. And there's a couple creeks that like meander through this. It's like just kind of for the neighborhood. We're just like a middle-class neighborhood in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We grew up. So it's like, we loved it as kids because we could just like run around the hood. Felt very safe. There was a neighborhood pool right by the first hole. And so I wasn't interested in playing. I was interested in collecting the golf balls from the creeks. The people had hit their golf balls in there. And I like built up this collection of like thousands of golf balls. And I'd sell them at our association garage sale. You make a bunch of money. I mean, I think one year I made like $500-$600 and I was like, I mean, Indiana, what was this, 1988, $500. Like I was like going to buy a house, you know, I was going to like see a mom, I'm moving out, get my own place. I got my, you know, it was a little miss, you know, I wasn't the smartest. I wasn't in a financial wizard when I was 8, but I knew it was a lot of money and it was really cool. But I didn't play golf until I guess one day I just started playing. There wasn't anything, you know, my dad played, but like very casually. And I guess one day I just started playing and then it got me. Like people identify with is kind of like it's like a disease. And then I have that obsessive sort of like gene and like is, you know, I think like, you know, alcoholism became that later in life where I was just obsessed with it. But golf was really my first, like really big obsession. And it's a I guess, a cool thing to be obsessed with, because there's a lot of great things about it that golf has taught me over the years. I absolutely didn't learn them as a young kid. You know, looking back, I was like, it just revealed a lot of my like shortcomings as like as a young man, like I think everybody has to kind of work through some things. There's nobody's inherently perfect.
Right.
But as a young dude, I had to kind of sort out some stuff, and it was just pretty obvious that I had some like anger issues on the golf course. I had all the issues, course management issues, chipping issues. But you know, some of them I got fixed, and then some of them still exist today.
Dude. So yeah, I was going to say like, I didn't start playing till much later in life, but I had to go through those same sort of things too. Like, I don't feel like, and I played other sports. I don't know if you did or not, but, I never felt the same sort of, highs and lows throughout a round of golf that I did in any other sport I ever played. I was always pretty kind of down the middle, and I didn't, you know, let the bad, you know, bad things affect me. I didn't let the good things affect me, but when you're on a golf course, maybe it's just because I played team sports and that was a difference. And you don't really have anyone else to really blame in golf other than, you know, you. And that was something I remember having to go through too.
Yeah. That's a great point. Cause I mean, it's like golf, you can live like an entire lifetime in a round of golf, right? It's just you. You're responsible for all the things that happen, apparently. And some of them seem to be up to the gods, the way that they shake out, you know, a foot left, a foot right, be in the hole versus in the water.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like these things that really happen to you. And if you're invested and obsessive and like consumed by the sport, it can seem, you know, pretty like a pretty huge deal. Right. And so to come from a, you know, an out of bounds, a triple, a total blow up hole to the next hole, you come back and make a couple birdies in a row. Like if you manage to deal with, you know, keep yourself in check after you made that eight, you know, so that is something that, and it's all on you. You can't, you know, maybe you have a caddy at the higher level, but as a young kid, if you're going around, it's a lot of ups and downs to deal with. And, you know, golf rewards those that handle it the best and manage to maintain mentally, I think as a kid, that was what my strength was certainly not. and then as I grew, you know, golf kind of forces you to figure that out. Otherwise you're going to get ejected from the game, right? Cause people don't want to see a hothead out there, and that's frowned upon. You're not going to make friends. People are going to want to play with you. You're not going to get invited places. So you've got to figure that out, or you're going to go someplace else. And so that to me at a young age, was something that golf constantly like gave me that check. And I feel like once I stopped drinking is when I was actually really able to make like permanent headway with like how to deal with like when anger arises on the golf course. I'd done it before and like managed to keep it in check previously. But once I stopped drinking, it was like, okay, I've got all my stuff now, my tools here to deal with life. They're not being blurred by alcohol. And that was the lesson that golf, and you know, there's a lot of different ways to deal with it. And part of it was like when it goes sideways, right? And it's like game is off the rails and you're getting pissed. What do? You look for other things to enjoy about the game. You know, you'd just be like, it doesn't matter what I shoot. This is not a tournament here. It's like, who cares if I shoot 95 or 65? Honestly, nobody does. And so then I started looking to photography and architecture and some of the other things, like the people I played with, the golf courses that are beautiful. And that's where photography came in a while before I started doing it professionally. I would just do it for fun because it was like, I love preserving these moments, capturing it. It's just something I did for myself. And I think that's where most like, passions are like, anybody that's passionate about something, I feel like that means like, if people didn't pay you, you'd still do it. You know, you just love it. And so that's kind of where that came from. In a long time, I did it and didn't get paid for it. there's more things you have to do in order to become a professional. deliver that value, right? The difference between a hobby and a career is a lot more work too. But that was one thing that, that golf gave me, you know, that ability. I mean, that's a huge gift, and that transfers to my life. Like when I get angry in life, as everybody does, I deal with it and I handle it well. And that's a powerful thing, you know, to turn that anger into something constructive and helpful and not damage relationships. Or, I mean, some people just start fighting each other, which to me seems, you know, that's not good. Yeah, right. There's a lot of anger in this world that doesn't get dealt with appropriately. And it's a lot of society's problems. And so for me to like look at that and figure out how I can channel it is like, geez, I'm grateful for that. And golf has given that to me.
Yeah. It seems like you really, maybe it's just overcoming, alcoholism or whatever it is, but it seems like you're kind of the person that sees something, you know, go not the way you wanted it to, or an unexpected way. And you actually embrace it as kind of a challenge. Like you're like, all right, I see what happened there. And then you sort of try to resolve that issue or do it that way. And you kind of take it on as a human.
Yeah. And so, well, see, it's crazy that you say that about me, because it's like, I was absolutely, and it gives me kind of a unique perspective too, because I was absolutely not that person for a long time.
Really?
Like, yeah, that's what it says to do. Like, you know, here comes something bad, you get a positive. And it was like, okay, whatever. That's some like pie in the sky, right? The fact of the matter was, you know, a lot of times they just get pissed off and react, and like a lot of bad things can't come from that. Right. Yeah. So it's cool to be like that. People think of me that way because I've tried to do things like that. And really started trying to live that philosophy. And through golf and like my RV tour in 2018, I think that really helped me to kind of get better at that. And that's how I tried to do it. And I think anybody that says they're perfect like that is a fool, because, you know, every one of us is, you know, like, you know, maybe people get really good at it. And even if you're really good at something, like, you know, where you can get better. Talk about Tiger Woods or anybody at the peak of their game. Tiger, you know, currently would have a lot of things I'm sure we'd want to work on. But, you know, whoever is the best, they're keenly aware of like 10 areas where they can get better. So that's how I look at it too, is that I'm just happy to be at a point where like I'm not destroying things around me. You know, I think that's how alcoholics come from. It's like we come from like maybe we're just great, more grateful, or like at least, you know, I didn't get busted and I'm not in jail for a DUI, right? Or like 100 different horrible things didn't happen to me. I know where my wallet is. Right. You know, I don't ever have to look for all my stuff in the morning. You know, you're just grateful for stuff like that. And I love talking about it too, because just mentioning that brings me back and kind of, it's therapeutic for me in a way. I think that's why a lot of us go to meetings and talk about this stuff. And sure. So I try to share with as many people as I can. If you want to talk about alcoholism, let's do it. I'll sit down for an hour. I love it. It's helpful. To me, either you're just, you know, a normal guy looking to understand, or if you're somebody that maybe has a problem, or you're somebody that's recovering as well. We all love, I love to talk about it with anybody.
Yeah. Going back to that point you made about, I've talked about this before around why I think I've been so attracted to golf. And we were talking about my musical background before we started recording, and even photography, I feel like the same way, is that there's no such thing as perfect in any of those sort of practices. Like there's always, and that's part of, you know, why I love playing music so much. And it was, there was always something next that I could try to do and then try the next thing. And I feel like golf is the exact same way. In photography, I would imagine like you're always trying to improve, you know, the way that you shoot a golf course.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, golf, like a round of golf is filled with like 50 bazillion imperfections, unless you're shooting, like, I don't know what it would physically be possible, like to shoot around in like the 30s for 18 holes, you holding out shots in every hole. I mean, that would be consistent perfection, and nobody's going to do that. I have yet to do it on a single golf hole. People can claim perfection with the ace, right? It's as good as you can do. You hit it in one shot.
Right.
I have yet to get one of those. I've been hunting hard. I should have. I didn't. I played so much golf over the years. I forget the exact odds of it, but I should have three. I should have three aces. If really? I'm just, you know, given my skill level and how I play, I should have three and I have zero. But I don't, because I know so much of it is luck. So much of it is just up to chance. And quite honestly, I love the fact that I don't have one because I get to chase it. Like, you know, it's something for me to do. It's like there's something out there that I can get, and it's very elusive, and I can try for it, and I'm going to get it. It's like I've got that active goal, right? I'm in the middle of the journey, because that's what life is. It's the journey, right? Not the destination. Everybody else has got one. I'm like, you're already there. You already did it. I'm living it. You know, I'm trying to get it. So, like, that's kind of my spin on it, and I'm having as much fun being some aceless loser as much as I can, because it's fun trying to make an ace, and a lot of people know this about me. They don't have one. Shane Bacon is another guy who's a great golfer, has played a lot of golf.
Yeah,
and has no ace. There's just no reason that Shane should have stuff. Shane That's is great,
crazy,
and he doesn't. And you know, Tiger Woods. Yeah, Tiger Woods. This is to put in perspective how much just chance is involved in an ace. Tiger Woods, was it like 18 or 19 years? He went as the predominant iron player in the game of golf right. across the entire world. He went 18 or 19 years without making a hole in one. And he plays a lot of golf. So it's, you know, it's something to be said for there's elements of trajectory that play into that. Like if you're rolling the ball a lot out after you hit. So that's why typically people with lower swing speeds, like I'm really looking forward to my 60s where I slow it down, right. just run it across the green. Right. Cause then they just go in all the time because there's more chance versus yeah. my current flight hits and just kind of stays a foot. And so the ground that I cover is less significant on each shot. So that's just my sob story about the ace. And then to answer the second part of your question, that bleeds into photography as well, because I'm chasing that perfect sunset shot. I'm chasing every photo that I take. Very few of them get close to being like, whoa, I nailed it. And if a couple of them, I'm like, this is really good. Like I did a lot of things right, but almost everything I'd be like, oh, this could be better. This isn't the most amazing thing I've ever seen in that regard. You know, oh, next time I maybe try this, or like, I wish, you know. And so the good photos, you don't edit. You're just like, you know, oh, everything was just there. I did it all beforehand. Most people edit or enhance some of those elements. So you're kind of chasing that. And that's what's fun. That's what's fun is that you never quite got it. And there's always something else out there. And you're always looking to do a little bit better. And there's so many different golf courses to try it on too. So it's like,
yeah.
But my goal every time I show up at a golf course is to get very best shot that's ever been taken on this golf course ever. And, you know, share it with people. And sometimes it's just not going to happen. It's raining and, you know, the weather and the clouds don't align, but sometimes you come close and that is just, that's fun. That's fun to me. It's endlessly entertaining in the pursuit of something so high in the sky, I think will keep me entertained for a lifetime. You know, that's one thing I'm grateful as well. You know, some other people are like, they have these careers where like, well, what do I do when this happens? I was like, I can press the shutter button until I'm, you know, 120.
That's true.
So that's kind of a neat thing that I know that this is something I can enjoy forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can play golf. You can play until, you know, late into life as well. And so that's nice. That's comforting.
Right. When did you, as far as your photography career, you said like you were doing it for yourself and you're kind of doing it as a hobby. Did you like decide on a day that, you know what, I'm going full blown into making this a career, or was it something that kind of evolved and happened over time?
Yeah, there's definitely a jumping off point. February of 2018, February 1 was my kickoff at Chambers Bay for the RGV tour, the recreational golf vehicle tour.
Okay.
So I bought an RV, drive around the country, tee off in all 50 states. I'm raising money for the first tee. I'm going to podcast about it. I'm going to take photos about it. I quit my job. I'm all in for this year on this project. It was a year long project that I had. And that was a jumping off point. The point where I was like, after that, I was like, let's just see what happens. You know, I'll figure something out. I'm college educated. I've got some skills. I can go back into sales if I need to, you know, everybody always needs a good salesman. Right. And so I said, let's just see what happens. See if I can change. So it wasn't kind of like, I was like, after that, I'm going to be doing this. I didn't have it planned out. But I want to do something with golf, and I know I love writing and I love photography. And so let's see where this takes me. You know, maybe I could work for a big manufacturer or maybe a small golf company. But I want to see the golf courses. It was a lot about the golf courses for me. It ended up being a lot about the people, more so, as everything is. It just is. And then after that, I was like, well, these people, resorts and places were calling me for photography. I got my word out around there, and I got better at photography. I know what I'm doing now. You know, I know that I can go out there and I can hold my own with anybody that's going to shoot that golf course. I can do just as good a job, if not better. And that's a cool thing to say. You're like, you're confident enough that you're going to provide a unique service to a club, and I can go and I can deliver, you know, with any club that comes to me, you know, as long as it's not raining all 3 days during our shoot, which I would just reschedule, and I wouldn't leave until they're blown away. Right. And so once I found that out, then I was like, okay, I can do this. It's tough though. It's tough. I mean, there's not a lot of golf courses that are like waving checks for golf course photographers.
Right.
So come on, you know, shoot our golf course. You still have to be a little bit of a guy. You got to have good relationships. And you get, you know, a little bit of luck is always important in business, but you got to be there to get lucky. So it's the same sort of thing, right? You know, it's still a business, it's still a job. But after that, I was, you know, I got it. It was kind of a cool thing to jump off into this world. And I'm still like, oh, my business could be better. It could be, there's a lot of room, a lot more upward mobility and cool things to do. But, you know, I've been doing it ever since then. I've been surviving. So there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you saying when you talked about the RGV tour, when you were on Talking Golf Getaways, and you had talked about, and this is something I aligned with you so much with, about the culture of golf courses and going out and discovering the different cultures of golf courses. I was never able to kind of articulate what that was like, but you really kind of, when you called it, like, you know, visiting these places and learning about, you know, the course itself, but the town that surrounds it, I thought that was so great. It was probably, you know, my favorite part of your RGV tour and of that conversation with those guys too.
Yeah. I mean, that is it, you know, cause it's like, I'll look at a logo or something. It reminds me of a golf course that I went to, and there's 405 of them. And instantly what pops into my head is like that golf course. But then it's like the people that I met and like where I stayed that night and like what I had, like who I played with, and how it was received. Like, do we play cards in the clubhouse afterwards? Do we drink a Diet Coke? Do we have clam chowder? Do we go for pizza? And like, do we go hit balls off the top of the RV onto like one of the golf holes from the parking lot? You know, we did that stuff. And like these stories, and just like, it floods back this vibe of like how much fun that was, what the people were like, what the town was like. And that's where golf is like, is good. That's where it grew up like that in St. Andrews. The town and the golf course links the sea and the city together. It's an integral part of the community for, you know, for park reasons and whatever. And so it's like, I love it. You know, when you get the blending of the people in a pastime and people just really enjoying themselves, getting to know each other through an activity, it's pure stuff. And so like, there's a lot of stuff that surrounds that. Not always good. Sometimes it's good. But that's the stuff that people, that's why people love golf. And I've been able to, you try to hone in on that, right? And like, what is that? And like, it's such a cool thing where you've just got people enjoying the game. And it exists everywhere in different
right.
capacities. The one that I'm currently loving is as a member of Goat Hill Park down there in Oceanside, California.
Yep.
Is the same sort of thing. You know, yep. it's world-class, working class. I think I've got the little place to go help park is the motto out there. And like people are just wearing t-shirts, just golfing. There's dogs running around. They got a fire pit by 1 and 18, having a good time, you know, making some bets. Nobody really cares if they win or lose. I mean, you kind of do, you want to win some cash, but it's fun. It's that's right. the thing. And it's not, you know, it's not all about where your place in society is. Nobody cares. They're just like there to play some golf. That's good. So yeah. You can find it. You can find it everywhere. And that was seeking out. That's what I seek out.
Yeah. I have a temporary tea time with our pal, Matt Janella at Goat Hill whenever I get out in 21. So hopefully you're there too. And then we can, you know, I can be terrible at golf with you two guys.
Let's do it. I mean, we got, it's Friday skins game. We'll just work you right in. And then we'll work you over for your $20. <That's fine.
laughs> Be worth it. It'd be fine with me. Now you talked about landing kind of a gig at, you know, a golf company, and you did that last year too, right? Late in 2020. I thought I saw that you're working with, a company called About Golf.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm very excited about golf, because when you're not playing golf, you know, it's rainy or you can't get to the course. The next best thing to do is to play golf, you know? And About Golf, they've got the best golf simulators in the game. So it's like, it's kind of like you're in it. You get that same sort of feeling. And I signed up with them to work on social media and kind of help promote that. And we've got some cool stuff, man. We've got this thing called the Ryder Cup Sim Series where anybody can join. You know, you just download the app. And then you can sign up in there to compete. And leading from now up until the Ryder Cup happens in Kohler, I think it's in like June or July. We're having different rounds of qualifying. And then if you qualify, the winning teams are going. We're going to fly them out to Kohler for the Ryder Cup. They're going to compete on site there for the championship, and the winner is going to get it. An About Golf simulator. So these things are like, I mean, they're not cheap. Range anywhere from like,
no way.
Like four, yeah. Like 40K to like, I think this one we're getting away at the top of the line. It's like $80,000, $80,000. It's a pretty rad thing. Most people like, oh, I'd love to have a golf simulator, but I can't afford it. Like, why not do this thing? It's super fun. And if nothing else, you go play a round of golf in a simulator, and have a good time competing. Especially, you know, most people can get out during lockdown, play golf, but it's a great thing to do if you're in Ohio or Denver
or Chicago.
My friend Kenzie's gonna join and be a part of it. Yeah, we've got Club Pro Guy. You follow Club Pro Guy? Do you know Club Pro Guy?
Yeah.
CPG.
Yeah.
You one of the guys when he's in the learning center, that's an About Golf learning center. So I mean, that's as elite as it comes. And he's going to be competing in the Sim Series as well. Who knows? Come from CPG. So that's a cool thing. Yeah, I've been able to turn in some, you know, some, they're kind of like, you know, these kind of side jobs, and they're all very cool. And they're all these little passion projects. And I love being involved and getting the opportunity to do these sort of things and be creative, come with original ideas on my, you know, not necessarily entirely on my own, but like, you know, I have a lot of creative freedom to do that sort of thing. It's great.
Were you always creative like this, even as a kid? Was it always part of kind of your upbringing or something? Or is this a skill that you developed later?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because it's like when you look as a kid, you really have to think, because like alcohol, it plays a part in everything. So I think, I was always creative as a kid. What alcohol does is like just kills everything. So it was just like, I mean, not that I wasn't creative, but it's just kind of like stops you from growing, maturing, taking advantage of creativity. Not that you can't be creative when you're drinking, but it's like, it kind of just like numbs it and it kind of doesn't really go anywhere. Nobody really does anything with it. That's my opinion of it.
Yeah.
Then it didn't really come back out and I wasn't able to like fully harness it and like put it to, you know, creative use until I was free of the alcoholism or free of drinking. So I've always kind of enjoyed making things either through writing, or just photography and coming up with kind of, you know, the social media was a good fit because it's like, oh, you can kind of come up with whatever you want and be as creative as you possibly can. And then put it all out there for people to enjoy. And so I've always kind of enjoyed it. There's obviously people that are way more creative than me. And social media is a place where creativity just goes off the deep end sometimes. Oh, right. And so
yeah,
I like to think I've got a reasonable enough talent to be out there. Right.
Now, when you were a kid too, I forgot to ask this about playing golf for the first time. And I always like to kind of do you remember what grabbed you? Was there anything specific about golf that was like, I love this so much? Like, was it just the impact of the golf ball? Was it just the outdoors? Like, what was it that grabbed you at 9 years old and, you know, never let go?
Yeah, that's a great question because what it was, yeah, I'm trying to think, I don't think it was like outdoors because as a kid, like, you don't appreciate being outdoors. I don't think you really, right. At least I, you're just like, I'm outside now. But what it was, I think was like, doing something that I feel like seemed so impossible and like kind of amazing. I think kids are drawn to that, like the trick shot stuff. There's a lot of kids that love the trick shots. You know, it's a younger generation that really gets off on doing something that seems so impossible. And for me, it was, you know, I remember my very birdie on the third hole at Arlington Park. And it was a long putt and I couldn't believe it went in. It went in and I made a two and I was like, I made a birdie. Like I did something really cool. And to do that, something so exciting, you know, you're chasing that. You'll forever chase that feeling of like, it went in, you know? I did it. I shot my best round ever. I would repeatedly go to the golf course to break. For a long time, it was 31. My best was nine holes was a score of 31. And I would go, I'm going to break 30. Uh-huh. I'm going to shoot 30 today. And then I did, you know, then it was to break, you know, shoot 29. And so it was like, and I would even down to the holes, like when I shot my best hole, I made a four here. So I'm like one head of pace. And it was like this game that I just played obsessively. So it's like competing against myself was part of the fun and chasing that feeling of, you know, accomplishing something that seems absurd.
This is fun, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate this. You know, like I'm just so, it's always fun for me to talk to someone that I feel like I've known for a long time and they're exactly who they seem to be. That's always so rewarding as just a viewer, as a fan, really. So I appreciate that.
And I like to hear that. It's much better than the opposite of you being like, oh, this guy was a total douchebag when I went on the podcast. So that's good. It's like, I'm not putting false stuff out there. I'm being myself. There's not a lot of pretense with me.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much, I mean, you're always, you know, we've been introduced to so many sort of Insta people that are manufactured. Let's face it. Like you know, I've met them. I'm sure you've met them where they're not who they sort of seem to be in whatever sense, you know, whether it be personality or golf or whatever. And so I just, you know, I'd like to actively appreciate those people that are genuine. It's kind of one of my things, so to speak.
Oh, that's cool. That means a lot in a world of like manufactured stuff. I think it's important that still matters, you know, and that people get a sense of the fact that like, hey, I didn't have as many follows. I didn't get as many likes, or I didn't get whatever sort of metric. I didn't get this job where I get to do this, and this person did. But you know what? I was myself, and I genuinely connected with a couple of people and made a difference in that regard. And I'm going to keep doing that. Yeah. Like that matters. And I mean, maybe not everybody turns that into a career. But like, that's something. Like, if you go through your life just doing that, I think you're going to be happier and more richly rewarded than somebody that goes through trying to be somebody that they're not.
For sure. Absolutely.
Know? Not that.
Right.
And that's interesting too, because it's like, you don't want to be, try to be somebody that you're not, but you, I always strive to be like the, a better version of myself, right? I try to like be better, you know, I still want to be myself, but I want to get better.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to like, you have to still try to improve and try to change, and you got to still be honest with like what it is that you are. So that's a, you can see how that would get, you could get away from it. You know, you're kind of like, this is the whole fake it till you make it sort of advice, you know, and it'd be very easy to go from like your goals to just like pretending you're this other person, simply because that's who you want to be. And, it's easy to get ahead of yourself. So like, if you look at it there, you can see where people fall into that, that social media trap.
I'm sure.
And I think alcoholism has kind of kept me from doing that. I don't know. But the things that you learn while recovering from alcoholism, it's a part of who I am, really. So I'm super glad that you started the conversation out that way, because it really helps for anybody listening to this. It helps them like kind of understand where I'm coming from and like my basis and why this is that way, or why I may say that, because it's a significant part of like my story and who I am. And sometimes you just jump into the golf, and I could talk about golf all day long, but people might not know that.
Well, I think it explains your outlook on life in general. Like, how many people are you going to see on this? I can't get through it without laughing, because every time you post it, it's hilarious. But like a crotch cam on Instagram on a golf course.
So I don't know what I came up with the crotch cam. I think this is just new this year. The crotch cam, it just debuted on like the very beginning of January, and I just did it with my buddies. And immediately I feel like it, I got a lot of comments and be like, why don't you do it with, you know, name a girl, and they threw her name in there. It works with guys, 'cause it's like, it's mostly funny, and it's not as like, right. It's like, if you right. It's just inappropriate, I think, to do it with the ladies. Right. And it's funny too, 'cause like, yes. You see my face, I'm like, I'm kind of right. In there. And you're like, what is he doing? And then you're like, what is that? You're like, oh God, crotch cam. It's the angle that I've never wanted. And it's here. And I'm not sure how I feel about it. And then you like, watch the swing. It looks kind of cool. You're like, whoa, you know, that was, I don't know how sure. And people are like, there's a lot of confusion. And, you know, I'm mixing things up. I'm taking it to like a new level, a level that people didn't know and probably don't want. But the comments have been more crotch cam. Thank God the crotch cam's back. And then just other people to do crotch cam with. So a lot of people, it'll be around. I'm not going to wear it out. But it's a kind of a fun thing. I should do an Instagram highlight. Right. And you have the highlights. And right now I just have like destinations and events up there, but crotch cam would be nice, so I can have all, you know, like I try to get a bunch of like my friends or like celebrities, high profile celebrities, up there. But I missed some opportunities with some great crotch cam.
I think part of my favorite is just seeing, like you said, like your face kind of sneaks into the shot, and you're so happy, like you are so happy doing the shot. Like, it's so fun for you, and it just makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. 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 That's the part where it's kind of like, I'm like getting away with it, and I'm just excited. Right. And, you know, I'm like, you're kind of nervous, 'cause you're like, I definitely shouldn't. This is not etiquette, you know? but the people that have like taken part of it, like, they're all such like good sports, and it's like all in the name of fun, right? We're just being silly. And that's yeah. What I like about this stuff is sometimes creating content can be a drag, or like never ending. People they just never get tired of it. And so right. It's good when you find stuff that you're like, man, I had fun going out and creating this for people. And that's when it's, yeah. You know, it's good stuff, when you're like, this is, I can't wait to share this. this is fun. We put this together and then everybody enjoys it. So it's cool to get the reaction. I think that's the key to it. Like, make sure, at least for me, is that if I'm having fun doing it, other people will probably like it too.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man, I'll let you get going. I have confidence because you also did another New Year's resolution this year, and it goes back to your, this year is the year of your ace. And I have confidence in you that that's going to happen, because I feel like when you make a resolution, you do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I feel like I got it pretty easy. Like, I'm kind of resting on my laurels a little bit. Not that, you know, staying sober was easy, but, you know, it's nothing new. I know I've done it for some time. And so I figured it was time to throw in something else. Now, I'm always going to have that resolution until I'm dead, but let's throw the ace in there. People are pulling for me. I'll certainly have plenty of tries. I've already had quite a few. Nothing really close to speak of, you know, nothing inside of 5 inches. But a lot, you know, so we'll see. I'll certainly, if I don't get it on camera, the reaction afterwards will certainly be on camera, and there'll be a whole, I'll do a piece around it for people to enjoy, because I know people are playing. And I appreciate that people even care more than,
oh man, it's like a new, it'll be like a new television show for us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if we see your Instagram story or video, we're like, maybe this is the one, maybe this is it.
Yeah, I got my mom the other day. She's my mom's maybe my biggest, social media fan. And she's great. I said, I hit one and it's going right at it. So I yelled, that's it. And she, for some reason, she thought that was my own one. She's like, so I fooled her the other day. She thought I'd made it. It was clearly not in. I think it hit and rolled back down. But yeah, I'll just wait and see what happens. And then I'll create some content around it. One of the things that I've thought about doing, which would be really, it'd be a lot of work to go back through, because, like, I don't know where half of this stuff is. All these different ace cams that I run, you know, just a quick shot of me not hitting it in the hole. It's like, hey, watch me hit the middle of the green. Like, nobody cares about myself. It was a good shot, but nobody cares. So I have a lot of those, like, back to, like, my BlackBerry, all these different things. So there's all these videos that exist. And it's like, if I pulled all those things together, in like maybe like 5 minutes of missed shots, and then if I had the ace, it could be kind of a cool sort of build up to the ace ball. I'm going to start just videoing every attempt out of fear that I'll miss.
Right.
Cause I'm like, you know, maybe 30% I videotape. I should tape them all. You never know when it's going in. It's kind of a pain, cause it's like, you know, the odds are not high, but
right.
What the hell? So hopefully next time, you have me on. We'll be talking for an hour straight about my hole in one.
Oh, I'm in. I'm absolutely in. You should go on a whole tour, your hole in one tour, and just go on every podcast you possibly can and tell the story, so that, you know, word will get out that you.
Yeah. I'll just be like, I'll call up. I'm definitely going to demand to be on Shane Bacon's podcast, if he has one or not. Just to rub it in his face, if that happens. Then, you know, they'll probably do a piece on me during the Masters, I would think, you know, like probably like a, before they air the Sunday coverage, they'll do a little piece about my own one. And then just something every week on the PGA Tour, just so people don't forget.
That seems,
but there'll be that something. Seems right. That's kind of how it plays out ideally. Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks again for joining. I really appreciate it, PJ. This is fun.
Hey, this was fun. I love talking to you, and thanks for having me on the program.
So that's PJ Koenig. It's, you know, I enjoy these episodes. I enjoy every guest, every podcast that I do with people. But it's not always, I just have a permanent smile on my face while I edit or re-listen to some of these. And this is definitely one of them. I think PJ is just such a great human. He's so funny.
He's just so entertaining. And if you're not following him on Instagram, I highly, highly recommend it because it's great. I mean, dude invented the golf crotch cam. And it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. Now, I feel like I need to make one thing clear after re-listening to this and editing it. By no means did I mean to imply that my stupid 31-day no alcohol thing is even close to being equivalent to someone that is going through the withdrawals from alcoholism. That was not, I know it certainly came off that way, and I am quite embarrassed and ashamed of myself for even putting that sort of idea out there. Clearly, my stupid thing is not even close to his major accomplishment and what he had to go through to stay sober. So, but inspired by PJ, he's willing to talk about his own imperfections. So, I left that piece in there. I left that embarrassing, stupid question or comparison in the show because I want to embrace my own imperfections and my own mistakes. So I just want to be very clear that is not at all what I was trying to imply. So anyways, enough of that. That's the show this week. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for PJ for joining me. It's always fun when, PJ's been around a long time. He's done a lot of great stuff. He's talked to a lot of great people. And it's just so impressive when some random dude like me reaches out to him and says like, hey, you want to be on the show? And it's yes. He like immediately, yes, let's do it. Like not even like sure, but like an emphatic, an enthusiastic yes. And that's always fun for me. It's always very appreciated. So that's it. I'll leave you with a little bit more of Elvis Costello and the Attractions. What's so funny about Peace, Love, and Understanding. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Rate it, review it, all those things that help. Listen to the Talking Golf Getaways podcast episode with me on it and others. PJ's been on that show too, actually. So you can go and find him on one of those episodes. And otherwise, follow me on Twitter at Chris McEwen, Instagram at Chris McEwen, YouTube at Chris McEwen, all that good stuff. And I will talk to everyone next week.